We started last month with the five first Saturday devotions because Our Lady wants to give us grace, the grace of final perseverance. But she also asks us to make reparation for the five outrages against her Immaculate Heart. Remember, those were blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, those against her virginity, those against her divine maternity, and at the same time, the refusal to accept her as mother of all men, instilling indifference, scorn, and even hatred towards the Immaculate Mother in the hearts of her children, and the direct insults against her sacred images and her holy name. So last month, we meditated on the joyful mysteries and those insults against her sacred images and her holy name. But this month, we're going to look at those same joyful mysteries, but this time blasphemies against her divine maternity and the refusal to accept her as mother of all men through this statement of St. Therese of Lisieux. St. Therese writes, Mary is sometimes described as unapproachable, whereas she should be represented as easy of imitation. She is more mother than queen. So we'll look at Mary first as queen, then as mother, and then as a mother in the episode of the fifth joyful mystery. Now, first as queen. A queen knows the boundaries of her kingdom and thus defines and defends it when it's under attack, just as a mom protects the life of her children. Therefore, let's define the mother of God first. She is not just the mother of the humanity or the human person of Jesus Christ. This is Arianism. This is wrong. Because Jesus actually is not a human person. He's a divine person, which we'll get to in a second. And that also means, however, that Mary is not the mother of the entire Trinity, meaning that she gives God his existence. This would make her a goddess, and this is unfortunately what a lot of non-Catholics accuse Catholics of teaching when they say Mary, Mother of God. Mary is the mother of only the second person of the Trinity who takes on a human nature. And because that person who Mary gives birth to has both a divine nature and a human nature and doesn't stop being God, because God comes into time and Mary gives birth to that person who has come into time, that divine person, she is properly called the Mother of God. This is Catholicism. Now, as queen also, she defends against those who would deny Mary's motherhood to all men. We have to remember that in Matthew's Gospel, it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. This means that we're on the offense. This world is where Satan has his kingdom. And our job is to try to get people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of death to the kingdom of life. And so, Mary ask us to bring people out of the shadows into the sun, where we can actually sunbathe. And when I say sunbathe, I mean S-O-N, bathe, and take in his right in his rays of light, so that not that our skin will be tanned or darkened, but that our souls will be lightened. And so Mary tells us we must defend against those who keep her from being a mother by not getting their child baptized, so their children do not belong to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Mary, because they don't belong to the church. We have to defend those who do not invite the queen and mother to their weddings by getting married outside of the heavenly kingdom, the church. This turns the love that God has put into their hearts to build up the kingdom of God into something that separates them from that kingdom. that kingdom involves love. And if God is love and we're getting married without love, that can't be something that will ignite and fulfill our hearts. We also have to promote and defend the dignity of the human person. We must promote that children are not just something that are not gifts from God, that they're not blessings, but that there's something simply to be terminated. That is wrong. That's a grave evil. And so we have to defend the most innocent that are being terminated through the grave evil of abortion. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops document on forming consciences states, "The threat of abortion remains our preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself, because it takes place within the sanctuary of the family, and because of the number of lives destroyed." Mary asks for reparation for the children that are not under her queenship through not being baptized, not having their marriages into the kingdom of God and church, and also those who are not able to have life, who should, through the grave evil of abortion. Again, we must bring them out of the shadows into the light. That doesn't mean defaming them. It means inviting them to love. We realize that most people who get abortions are not doing it because they want to do something evil. They do it because they're conflicted. We must let them know, with all of these aspects of being outside of the kingdom where we should belong, we must bring them into the light. That means invite people that we know who are not baptized to get baptized, especially if they have children that are not baptized. For Catholics that just marry civilly, to get their marriage convalidated into the church so that they can actually have a valid marriage before God and the church. And for those who have had abortion, let's do a spiritual work of mercy for them. Comfort them. Let them know that love is always an option before, during, and if necessary, after abortion through groups such as Project Rachel. So Mary is queen, but she's also mother. This is the second point. She chooses to relate to us more as mother than as queen, as the little flower says. This means that she takes time to unite the family. So, for example, in the family, a lot of times brothers and sisters may have spats. But Mary, as mother, unites us. She never says that we should degrade or just fight one another. That remember that we are all just one family. She also encourages us to be able to feed the seeds of that kingdom of God that's put into us through baptism, through community. The Catechism tells us that faith comes alive through community, and it's our job as mother to make the greatest gift that our family has received to come alive in one another, to encourage one another to develop their gifts, because that's what mothers do. That's what brothers and sisters do. They help each other out to become the best versions of themselves. And that's why Mary, as mother also, she trains us as her children to be the best that we can be by doing the will of God. Again, in Matthew 12:48-50, Jesus says, "Who are my mother, my brother, and my sister? Those who do the will of God." We must always aim to do the will of God, not to compromise that will, not because it's just a bunch of following rules, but because it actually brings out the best in us. And Mary trains us to do that. And that's why she also trains us not to be afraid of the cross. Sometimes the will of God means that we have to take up our cross, but that's always for our betterment. and so we trust in her. But as a mother, she's also the role model for her children. A lot of times moms are the way that children learn how to talk, to walk, to act, how to interact with people. And so we try to learn from our Blessed Mother what St. Lucia de Montfort says are her 10 principal virtues to imitate. First one, her angelic sweetness, then her ardent charity, her blind obedience, her constant mental prayer, always keeping herself in the presence of God in a constant mental prayer. The blind obedience, meaning that she never allowed her reason to take her away from saying yes to God. That's what she means by blind obedience, by St. Lucia de Montfort. Divine purity, divine wisdom, always looking at things from God's perspective. Heroic patience, lively faith, profound humility, meaning she always saw herself in truth, and her universal mortification. And that brings us to the third point, our fifth joyful mystery that we meditated on today a little earlier, the finding of Jesus in the temple. When Mary and Joseph went to the temple for the Passover, they were coming back and they lost Jesus. They're like, honey, have you seen little Jesus? No, I thought he was with you. They lost God. But why did they lose God? This is a lesson for all of us. It's because they took their eyes off of him. And oftentimes when we take our eyes off of God, thinking that we have to do it our way, or we have to do it this certain way, the way the world wants it to do, and we don't keep our eyes on Christ, we can lose him. And as we know in this story, Luke 2, they then became anxious. But when we keep our eyes on the Lord, even though everything around us is going crazy, we can have the peace which only Christ can give. And now another lesson in this is, where did they find the Christ child? They found him in the temple. Mary shows us in this episode that we too must always go to the temple. We must be people of prayer. If we're going through anxieties in life, we must go to the temple. We must come before the Lord. If we have questions about what to do in life, we must go to the temple. We must go before the Lord. We should always be people of prayer, because in going to the temple and being people of prayer, we can change history. And that's what the Lord asks of us. He says, I want to change history with you. But that means we must come to the temple and develop our prayer life. If you want to do something well and you want to do something good, be a person of prayer. Because when God does stuff with you, he can do stuff through you. And when he does stuff through you, that changes people's lives. It brings out inspiration. And so in conclusion, as we take our 15 minutes of meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary and our Blessed Mother's five acts that she asks us for reparation, let us remember today the quote of St. Teresa of Lisieux, who said, Mary is sometimes described as unapproachable, whereas she should be represented as easy of imitation. She is more mother than queen. Let us embrace her as both queen, defending who she is, defending the Lord, and defending the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Mary by inviting people out of the shadows into the light to receive the blessings that God wants them to receive at baptism, through their marriages, and even the healing if they know someone who's thinking about abortion or has had an abortion. Let us remember that she is also mother. She's worthy of imitation. She loves us unconditionally. She wants us to unite the family by fanning the flame of faith. And finally, she wants us to be people of prayer. She wants us to be able to do things with our Heavenly Father, Jesus our brother, and the love between them, the Holy Spirit, which changes souls. So let us embrace her as mother and queen and ask for her prayers. Mary, Mother of God, and Saint Teresa of Lisieux, pray for us.